check up on me and pray for me, their colleagues. And one of the foremost of those is my friend and his colleague is Dr. Rich Frazier. I would say in the last 20 years of my life, I can't think of a more faithful friend. So times when I have gone through many things, and I greatly appreciate the encouragement I have from this church, rarely does a week go by that we don't check in with each other. Dr. Frazier, we had the joy of doing our doctorates together, and he has gone on to become the president of Spiritual Overseas Services, and I've had the joy of serving with him in that capacity of bringing a training to pastors and soon-to-be pastors, all in my case in Africa. So, Rich, why don't you come up and share with us? And once again, you like to be on his mailing list and all that stuff. You'll have a chance to go into the green room afterwards, but be quiet and let's talk.
Well, thank you. Pastor Gary is a great friend. He's a great pastor, isn't he? Yeah, so such a great man. We've had the privilege of being friends for 22 years, praying every Tuesday morning when we were both pastors together in the Church of Ukiah, but in separate congregations. I'm not quite sure how this works. That's not my slide. It's close. And thank you, Stephanie, for sharing about your ministry. What a great joy to know that this church, thank you, that this church has a worldwide outreach. Amen. And thank you for that. I hope that our joining you in international mission, that we're able to help fulfill your global objectives for reaching the world for Christ. And I'm thankful that we get to do this adventure together. So a big thank you for who you are and what you're doing around the world. Pastor Gary did mention I would love to keep you updated personally by email on some of the things that are happening. And so if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, you can do so on any of the cards, I believe, that are in the pew rack. Or I have some cards in the green room. Either way, if you sign up, you're going to join a drawing for this beautiful, anybody want to model it for me? This beautiful scarf, I'm not sure what it's made out of, but it's hygienic, it's all right. It's from Nepal, and I would love to give that to you. That's one of the prizes. The other is an SOS hat. So if you sign up for the newsletter, either one of those ways, sometime this next week we'll have a drawing and let you know about that hat. We're on an adventure together, aren't we? We are on an adventure together, and now with your joining SOS International, we are starting this journey together to reach and disciple leaders all around the world. As Pastor Gary mentioned, we had the privilege of teaching the first class at a school called Onim Ministerial and Leadership College in Accra, Ghana. We experienced the joy of those leaders. You see Pastor Gary with the first class that was taught at Onim. As Stephanie mentioned, they get a little bit excited when they worship. And I don't know if you've ever seen your pastor dance during worship. If not, we'll have to videotape that the next time we're in Ghana, kind of shaking it up a little bit. But he danced. We danced. And, you know, your pastor returned with a greater joy and enthusiasm for the work here in Lake County as well. And thank you for the way that you partnered with SOS and with Onim Ministerial and Leadership College by providing those tremendous manuals that you all put together. You remember those? Several of you were involved in copying and stapling and putting together those. And so you have an impact and you get credit for a lot of that. Have you noticed how much things have changed through the years? Have you noticed? Now, change is going to happen. We either get to be a part of it, or we'll miss it. For those of you who are my age and a little bit older, you know that we used to have long hair, and now so much we're longing for hair. We used to seek acid rock, and now it's acid reflux. It used to be going to a new hip joint, and now it's getting one, right? It used to be Rolling Stones, now it's kidney stones. We used to say, hey, whatever, now it depends. Sorry about that. But you notice that the world has changed as well, haven't you? You notice that there used to be a lot more talk about nationalism and national borders. Now there's more talk about globalism. We used to be pretty secure in our travels. But now we're always thinking about how might terrorism and how might the bad guys get us in some way. It's changed everything the way you travel. It used to be Western superiority. We had a corner on a market on a lot of things. Now, with the rise of other nations, we don't have that corner anymore. Our battles used to be nation to nation, but now those battles tend to be more ideological, and they go far outside the borders of nations. In fact, I'll share this a little bit later, but the majority of Christians used to be in the West, that is, the United States and Europe. But that's not the case anymore. The world has changed. World Christianity has changed in that now most of the Christians are in other countries. And you've also noticed that the church has changed as well. Have you noticed? Yes? Okay, we used to have all hymns, remember? Now we have a lot more choruses, and even the hymns have sort of a different horse underneath them, different beat. They're a little more stylized. We used to be a lot more formal. Now we're a lot more casual. Used to have longer services. Now we have more compact services. The back rows used to be held for members. David, we talked this morning. Now we save a lot of the back rows for members, right? Well, I want you to know that in light of all these things that have changed, also missions has changed because of the way that everything else has changed. That is, remember when... years ago, to travel somewhere, you used to have to take a train from California over to New York, and then you'd be on the Queen Mary or Queen something, and then you'd travel somewhere else, and then you'd take another boat somewhere else, and it'd take you months to get to your mission field. I want you to know that the last time I was in Uganda, I left at 11 o'clock at night from Kampala, from Entebbe, and I was in LAX by noon the next day. Remember how we used to have missionary letters posted on the bulletin boards? There'd be one letter, right? And we'd all kind of take turns reading it. Now there's instant messaging. There's Skype. I talk to our colleagues around the world by Skype on a regular basis, and we're talking instantaneously, like Star Trek, right? Dream about. But missions has changed. We used to be the doers of all the ministry. And now, because of the way that the church is developed around the world, we have become more of the equippers of ministry. Missions used to be done primarily by professional missionaries. But now it seems like almost anybody can go, and everybody can go. And in fact, this last year, more than 1 million short-term missionaries went to several different countries around the world. Allow me to share some of the shifts that there are in global missions. If you don't mind me using part of our time together, not just for inspiration, but a bit of information to help you see how the world has changed. Here's some shifts in global Christianity. As I mentioned earlier, the average Christianity has grown around the world so much so now that in 1960. 70% of the evangelical Christian population lived in the West, that is, in the blue area. You notice on the left-hand side, 1960, the blue area, the light blue is North America, the darker blue is Europe, and then the darkest blue is the Pacific region. You notice over here in 1960, about 70% of evangelical Christians lived in the West. Now, because of missionary efforts, because of the rise of the global church, you'll notice now that only 30% of the global population lives in the West. This is the 2010 on this side over here. But 70% of the Christian population now lives in Asia, in Africa, and in Latin America, from the colors from the bottom up. Does that make sense? So the average Christian 50 years ago was a white evangelical man in a conservative church. The average Christian today is either a black or Latino or Asian woman in the Pentecostal church. See, things have changed in the last 40 to 50 years. Not only that, but you'll notice that another change that has happened is that missions is no longer only the responsibility and privilege of those of us in the West. When we read about missionaries, we read about missionaries going from the United States or from Europe or some other Western country. But today, missionaries are going from everywhere to everywhere, as the arrows indicate. This may surprise you, but that the United States is still the leading leader in the number of missionaries that we send, about 118,000. But I want you to know also that the United States is the leader in missionaries as a receiving country of missionaries. Over 33,000 missionaries have been sent to the United States. Surprise you? The Redeemed Church of God in Nigeria has sent over 500 missionaries to the United States, to reach the United States. In fact, the church in Europe, as it exists, is failing. It is declining. But the hope of the church, not necessarily church buildings, but the hope of the church in Europe is immigrants moving in, strongly evangelical Christians who are moving into Europe to raise up a new crop of believers for Christ. So we've seen a couple of changes already. We've seen the rise of a global Christianity. We've seen how missionaries are going from everywhere to everywhere. We've also seen a rise in the growth of indigenous ministries. Now, indigenous means people who are native to their country. And what I mean by this is that they are not waiting for us to come. Okay? So the leaders that Pastor Gary and I work with in Ghana, they were not waiting for us to come for them to start their training institution. They were already starting it. They recognized the need. They saw what needed to be done and started this college. And they invited us to be some of the professors of that, along with their own professors to be a part of that. So in other words, what I want to share with you in this way is that they are not waiting for us. They are making it happen, and we are now have the privilege of being invited into their circles to be a part of what they're doing. I also mentioned that the global church is growing. Between 60 to 100,000 people receive Jesus Christ as Savior every day. I've shared that in a lot of churches. You're only the second church that's applauded that. Praise God for you for that. Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that's so surprising because that's typically not our experience in the U.S. But believe me, in different places around the world, in Uganda where Stephanie was, and all throughout Africa and Asia and South America, it's happening on a regular basis. 2,000 to 4,000 churches are planted every week. And God is raising up pastors and leaders to lead that church. But there is a crisis now in the church because of this. Where do these people go to church now? And what kind of leadership do they have? See, one of the issues that the global church faces is that 90% of Christian leaders are inadequately trained to lead and grow these churches and make disciples that will impact the coming generations. Imagine that. Hundreds of millions of Christians are going to churches where their shepherds have no adequate training in how to do the work of ministry. So how do we respond to that? How do we respond to the global shifts in Christianity? Well, let me answer that question by asking this question of you. Think in your own mind, what is it that you want your Christian mission to accomplish? You, by the grace of God, the leading of God, you've just taken on SOS International as one of your international ministry partners. The big question is, what do you want us to do in representing you around the world? Let me tell you what drives SOS International. One of the things that drives SOS International is evangelism. See, it's our Lord's heart desire that every person hears about Jesus Christ, receives him as their Savior, and grows. Amen? First Timothy chapter 2 says, it's our Lord's desire for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Amen? He's the only way. And we need to make sure that people have the opportunity to hear and have the challenge to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That is one of the things that drives SOS International. The other thing that drives us is disciple making. That is not only to bring people into the family of God, but to help them to grow and to become stronger in their faith. Here's what's happening in the church around the world. And this I hear from leaders that we work with. It's not just my own opinion. It's what they tell us. They tell us that the church, especially in Africa, the church in Africa is a mile wide. And it's a mile wide because they're great at evangelism. But it's an inch deep. It's an inch deep because the pastors are only an inch and a quarter deep. Do you understand? So if we can help those leaders become 2 inches deep, 3 inches deep, 4 inches deep, then they can take their churches to that deeper level. Do you understand? So one of the things that drives us is equipping leaders so that they can help the church become stronger and better disciples, closer to Jesus. The other thing that drives us is Christian charity. See, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we've been involved in the last 39 years of our ministry alleviating the suffering of Christians around the world. In India, where there was a crisis in Orissa, Nepal during the earthquake and other situations, and even just most recently where the Islamic Fulani herdsmen are slaughtering Christians in the middle belt of Nigeria. We're involved in a process of helping the orphans there get food and education in there. By the grace of God, we've been able to channel hundreds of thousands of dollars in Christian relief to different organizations and ministries. That's what drives us. Evangelism, seeing people come to Christ. Discipleship, seeing them grow. Charity, making sure that their needs are met. But that, I want to share with you not only what drives us, but also what directs us. In other words, not only what motivates us, but what are the methods that we use to make sure that this happens. And one of the ways that we're directed is by equipping leaders for the work of ministry. That's what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12 says. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. For the building up of the body of Christ. How big is the body of Christ? Is it just us? Is it just Lake County, California, U.S.? No, you're getting my drift here. That the body of Christ is global. And so therefore, we as leaders in the body of Christ have this responsibility to equip people to do the work of ministry wherever the body of Christ needs to be built up. Amen? So your leaders, and your pastor is a good example of that, has the responsibility to equip leaders wherever the body of Christ needs to be built up. Praise God, you get to spend most of your time together. Amen? He's a great guy, great pastor. But think beyond here and now and realize that he and others of your leaders are called also to other places around the world to build up the body of Christ, wherever that is. So part of our method is to equip leaders to do what God's called them to do, whether that's preaching, counseling, leading, growing, administrating, how to study the Bible, as Pastor Gary taught them so well. The other thing that directs us is what 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and that is entrusting to faithful men what God has entrusted to us by wisdom, by teaching, by pulling one leader beside another leader, helping them to understand how this Christian leadership thing really works. And so that's one of the things we do. So to summarize that, I would say that the ministry that we're on track to do together, it's reaching and discipling nations by equipping and resourcing indigenous leaders. Does that make sense? Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, those laborers into the harvest, they're pastors, they're leaders, they're children's workers, youth pastors all around the world. 90% of them have very little training. Just think of how much better they could do if they had training and they could be more fruitful. And they're the ones doing the work, not so much us going over to do it, though that's beneficial as well. So think about that. Let me tell you what's happened in SOS International in the last 39 years of our ministry. More than 1,200, and I stopped counting, but we'll just conservatively say, more than 1,200 seminars and conferences in 91 countries around the world. That's 45% of the world nations since 1979, 39 years. Tens of thousands of leaders have been trained and equipped to do what they do so much better. So the next question we want to ask is, what are Christians around the world saying about what drives us and what directs us? Let me share with you what Dr. Subhash Dungar Duvey of India said. He says that the impact that the churches had in India was great in the past, but the impact that we can have now can be even greater. Look at that last paragraph. The most needed area for help we have is the building up of native leadership so they are equipped to accomplish the task the Lord has given to them. Do you understand what he's saying? See, in India, you cannot be a Christian missionary, not officially. They kicked all those out back when they got independent. So he says the best thing that you can do for the church in India now is not to come to do ministry, but to come to train our leaders how to do ministry. David Kiamu, who used to be the director of Reach Africa, which is our denominational ministry in Africa, he said, Western leaders coming alongside indigenous national leaders is the only authentic way to influence the spread of the kingdom of God. Let me share with you one more by way of video. This is my friend, Pastor Robert Gitua. You like how we're dressed there? When they get dressed up for graduations, man, they put it on. It's awesome. It's awesome. I feel honored. I feel a little funny, but I feel honored to don the duds and do that. But let me share with you a little video of my friend Robert Gitua to share with you a word of thanks as well as a word of encouragement. I think you have to turn it on, Mike.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Robert Wanjoe Gitua, a pastor of Jesus Friends Fellowship in Cape Town. Well, this time I would like to take this opportunity to thank all the people that know about SOS, and not only know about SOS, also support SOS. I want to thank you so much. This is because it's from deep from my heart. For many years, I had no training at all of becoming a pastor. I had no training, but I was still pastoring a church. But in 2010, I met Dr. Rich Fraser, and I asked him a question, what do you do? And he said to me, we train pastors, and I was so excited, and I told him, would you please help me become a trained pastor? And for the last 8 years, the Lord has been good. Dr. Rich Fraser has held my hand together with other members of SOS team that have held my hand to train me to become a better pastor. I want to thank you so much for being there, supporting SOS and the vision to train indigenous leader around the world. You are changing the world. And by supporting me, supporting SOS, you are a great blessing. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God bless you so much.
Gotta love that guy, don't you? That is a wonderful man. Wonderful man. You hear what he said? I was a pastor. He's a pastor for 9 years. No training. By the grace of God, we've been able to help him get trained. We've trained him. We've sent him other places to get trained. In the last 5 years, he's trained more than 2,500 pastors just on his own in 14 countries. You see the power of multiplication? You're involved in that. You get credit for that. He's now our SOS Africa director with the vision to reach every one of the 55 countries of Africa by sometime in the future. I don't know if he's got a date on it. We've been in about half of those so far. You're a part of that. You're a big part of that. Let me share with you just briefly now that what's happened in this last year through SOS. By the grace of God, I just completed my report. More than 6,900 leaders, sorry, more than 6,900 leaders this last year were trained through our network of people that we've sent. Stan Lubeck, whom you probably many of you men know, who spoke at your men's retreat recently, and others. as well as the indigenous leaders that trained at more than 110 conferences and seminars just this last year. So thank you for your support, your blessing, your encouragement, your prayers, your pastor, everything else. And as Pastor Gary mentioned, I'll be in the green room if you want to sign up for our newsletter and then get an opportunity to win the drawing on one of those. So again, thank you very much for your support, your time, your interest. And our website is there, www.sosinternational.us, and I'll be in the green room. I'll be around for the rest of the day and part of the afternoon if you have any questions. And thanks for your time and attention and for your support. God bless you.
One of the reasons why I'm excited about partnering with Rich is that he's very articulate and he stays on top of things. I just speak for the church, none of us want our lives to be wasted, right? And I want to let you know you're not wasting your life. Thank you for investing in the work of the Lord here, because one of these days it's all going to be over, right? But now is the day of the Lord. And so let's make hay. I need to, before I get to the word, I just want to say something that really changed me. When I first went to Ghana, and it was the first year of that leaders training college, and I did hermeneutics and Bible study methods, all right? And interesting enough, there was a guy, I mean, some of these people were already, they were in their early 20s, pastoring churches five times the size of this church. And one of them, all he had, his Bible was a Gideon Bible that was just a New Testament. Large print. And the very fact being able to get him a whole Bible, but the fact of thinking, well, that's what's happening not only in Africa but all over the world. And so what a joy it was to be able to spend several weeks and just pour into their lives. And so thank you, Rich, for once again get to know him, and he'll be here as often as we can get him here. Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 73. I have a couple quick comments to make, very quick. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our lives are in your hands. We live in a world that is filled with tribulation, but you have called us to take courage because you have overcome the world. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wanted to make some brief comments about time and our year and the year to come. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 73. Here's what it says. Surely God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet became close to slipping and stumbling when I considered the wicked. See, he starts out with this clear and concise statement. Surely God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. I'm here to testify, God is good. But even here, Asaph, who was a worship leader in the temple, he was struggling because God is good, but how come his life was filled with conflict at times? And as he looked at the wicked seemed to be getting away with everything. Murder. Their lives are being blessed and his wasn't. And it brought him to, excuse me, really, a crisis of his faith. He says this, I was envious of the arrogant and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he goes on from there. And here's what he says then, verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said this, if I had spoken this, I would have betrayed the generation of my children And when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. He said, I can't speak this. I'm a Christian leader. I'm a leader in the temple. If I would say, man, God's no good, it's better not to be a Christian, better not to be a follower of God. If he lets this kind of stuff happen, he says, it was troublesome even for me to think of that. And then there's a turning point here that is so critical. Look here, verse 17. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Friends, why do I want to share this last sermon, last Sunday of the year? Because here's what I can tell you. In this world, you will have tribulation. Things will happen that will come out of the blue. In baseball, it's the curveball than when you were expecting the fastball. I don't care what it is, but here's what's going to happen. In this world, you will have tribulation. That's the nature of this world. Some of this stuff may come across as a great mystery. And you will even feel, wow, has God deserted me? Well, why would God allow that? Why would God allow the righteous to suffer? Why would God take a young person? Or why would I get a phone call saying I've lost my job or I got cancer or something like that? All these things are a mystery, aren't there? But here's what the Lord says. I'm going to give you peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But take courage, for I've overcome the world. There's something in this for all of us, not only now, but in the year to come. In the world, we'll have tribulation. There will be mysteries. There will be times, well, Lord, what are you doing? The only solution that I have found in my 40-plus years of being a believer, the only solution to the mystery and the tribulation is to draw near to the Lord. There is no other solution. If you go the opposite way, you're going to walk into the darkness. You're going to walk into the fog. You're going to walk into despair. In the times of tribulation and difficulty, you must return to the Lord. You must cling to Him. Until I came to the sanctuary of God, then I perceived therein. Now, what did he perceive? Four things. One, surely thou hast set them, the wicked, in slippery places. Thou hast cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They're utterly swept away with sudden terrors. And like a dream when one is awake, the Lord, when aroused, thou will despise their form. So, you don't want to be wicked. Everyone look here. If you're on the path of wickedness, don't go that way. Why? Because the end is destruction. When you stand before the Lord, he will despise your form. That's what it says. So that's what the truth is. All right. You may not get the Cadillac or car or whatever now, but the fact is this. Don't envy the wicked. And so he came close to the Lord. The Lord said, let me share you about the wicked. You don't want to be them. Then, so the first thing, he identifies the people he's having a problem with. He says, you don't want to be them. Next, he identifies about himself. Look here. When my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. When I was senseless and ignorant, and I was like a beast before thee. So, he identifies that the wicked were wrong, but then he all identifies that his own attitude was wrong. Lord, I've been like an animal. I've been like a beast, ignorant. So when we seek the Lord during times of difficulty, He'll shine light on the problem, but He'll also shine light on us. But the Lord also shines light on Himself. Look here, verse 23. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee, and thou hast taken hold of my right hand, and with thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and after receive me to glory. A clearer view of the evil, you don't want to be like them, clearer view of ourselves, right? Then a clearer view of God. He's always with us. And at some point, He's going to receive us to glory. And then lastly, it gives us a clear view of life itself. Look here. Whom do I have in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I have desired nothing on earth. Flesh in my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish, and those thou hast destroyed those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness to God is my good, and I have made the Lord God my refuge, and I may tell of all thy works. So when we are in time of crisis, and get this, you may be in a crisis right now. I get it. Here's the solution. Draw near to the Lord. Seek the Lord. The devil will say, oh, you can't trust God. Go the other way. That's a lie from hell. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, and he will be found. And if you're in such a bad place you don't know how to do that, then cry out like David did in Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, Lord, send forth your light and your truth, and let them lead me to your holy hill. There may be times in your life, you're so far out in the bushes, so far in the jungle, you just need to cry out, oh, Lord, bring me home, please. Help me. And he'll do it. That's his promise. Draw near to the Lord. That's my prayer for each one of us at the end of this year and as we face the next year, because we will face tribulations in the year to come. But take courage, because Christ has overcome the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you for the reports that we've received today and the encouragement that thousands and tens of thousands of people are coming to Christ, millions around the world. Oh, Father, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. We pray that you would send forth laborers into the field. Send us, Lord. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and close the year with, in my life, Lord, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Our Heavenly Father, take our lives, use them for your glory. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this new year to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy New Year. If you want to meet Rich, go in the green room.